I'm not sure if we're going to be starting in Acts 13 or 14. Let me see. Let's go to 14, Acts chapter 14. We have the first missionary journey of Paul, and Paul meets Timothy on this journey, on this missionary trip. Timothy is not mentioned, but his mom and grandmother are. I can't even find it now. This is terrible. Anyways, we are watching Paul, Barnabas, and the missionary team go through the regions of Listeria and Iconium. And in this trip, is where we'll jump up to 16 now. This is where Timothy is mentioned in Acts 16:1. Remember, Paul and Barnabas and Silas are in the region of Derbe and Listeria, and it says in 16:1, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted him to go with him, and he took him and circumcised because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. In other words, they all knew that he probably was not circumcised. We're going to be bouncing around now. 1 Corinthians 4:15. It is mentioned in the epistle to Timothy that he received prophecies. But in 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 4:15, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. It is implied. Scholars think that Paul led Timothy to the Lord. It speaks in Paul speaks in paternal or fatherly language that he has begotten. Many in Corinth, and Timothy is one of them. And in language of the discipler, he says, therefore, I urge you, imitate me. One of the things about discipleship is this. Jesus was the model for us. Jesus was the model for disciples. He did it the godly way. He went and gathered some men who he saw something in that he could trust them with the gospel. And what he did is he took those 12 men, and what he did is he showed them how to disciple. He showed them how to do the work of the Lord. So those men were with him, and they watched him preach. They watched him disciple. Then, after a while, he brought the disciples to a place to where he could trust them to do the work with Jesus. So first he showed how to do it. Then he partnered with the disciples on how to do it. And then he released the disciples to do it on their own. So he showed them, he instructed them, he partnered with them to raise up disciples, and then he let them go on their own to make disciples. And we're going to find Paul did very much the same thing. That he was with Timothy and later with Titus, showing how to preach and reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, when he sends Timothy, who is his beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in the church and in every church. He was not only, Timothy was not only, following Christ, he was following Paul as Paul, excuse me, as Paul followed Christ. Okay, now we will go to the epistle of Timothy. And we're not going to stay there all that long. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Paul writes to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul sees Timothy as a true son. As a true disciple. And we're going to find out later. This is more than just Timothy being a disciple. Timothy was a friend. Paul could count on Timothy for just about anything. During the first missionary journey, Timothy was one of the many converts during the first journey. And it was not until the second journey that Timothy stood out to Paul. Since we're in chapter 1 of Timothy, go to verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Timothy was a convert, excuse me. Won to the Lord by Paul, but during the second missionary journey, there was something different about Timothy. Something stood out. He And it doesn't say that those prophecies came by Paul. Paul just were aware of those prophecies. And basically, those prophecies were prophecies that Timothy was an evangelist and Timothy was a teacher. Very good things to stand with Paul. He was with Paul. And let's go back to Acts. Go back to Acts 16. When this is the account of Paul and Silas in prison praying and singing hymns, and there was the earthquake, so the foundations of the prisons were shaken. It is recorded that Timothy was with them. Excuse me. Let's go up to seven, chapter 17. Oh, excuse me. This is where we pick up the first and second Thessalonians. Remember, Paul had the vision of a man saying, "Come and help us." He went to Philippi. He was badly treated. Then he went down to Thessalonica, and preached a little bit there, but they were persecuted in Thessalonica. Then they went to Berea. And they stayed there. And this is something we're going to find out about Timothy too. We'll start in verse 13 of chapter 17. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was being preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. And so those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. One thing we're going to find about Timothy, and it's not spelled out, it is kind of subtle, but Paul, by this point, trusts Timothy to handle any kind of trouble in the church. He feels confident enough in Timothy to leave him in situations that are volatile and hostile. And he has that ability to trust him in those situations that he, Timothy, would be able to conduct himself and preach the gospel and represent Paul. He was not only loyal to the gospel, he was loyal to Paul. And in that, he was able to do the work that Paul sent him to do. Another thing of what makes a disciple, it's not just a matter of getting a disciple saved. We've heard that before in the church. And it's not just a matter of getting a disciple in the body of Christ into a church, it's more getting a disciple to carry out the work of God. It is not just a matter of getting your life right and living the way you would think you should live. It's a matter of finding your place, not only in the church, but finding your place that you can move the church forward in our spheres or in our in our spheres. So Paul comes to a place, and he sees Timothy. He's with him in Philippi. Timothy is with him in Thessalonica and Berea and he trusts them. Paul trusts Timothy. To preach the gospel and to handle the situation. And again, when Paul leaves for Athens, Silas and Timothy remain there, and instructs and continues to preach the gospel. It's significant that Paul was willing to leave Silas and Timothy in a hostile situation. And it once again suggests that Timothy was not a timid person. I've heard that before, that people think that Timothy was a meek, mild-mannered disciple. He was not. He could be in these hostile situations and not only hold his own, but continue to preach the gospel. And again, hold his own. After that, Paul in Athens, and before Silas and Timothy, because he asked for them to follow him, before they arrived and traveled to Corinth, we meet Aquila and Priscilla. Silas and Timothy reach Corinth, and they all remain there for over a year and a half. While in Corinth, probably, and we talked about this before, Paul wrote First and Second Thessalonians. And again, both letters were written by Paul, Silas, and Timothy together. As a matter of fact, Paul wanted to go back to Thessalonians, Thessalonica, but was prevented. So he sends Timothy. Therefore, we wound bear no longer. This is 1 Thessalonians 3:1-3. We could bear it no longer. We were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's servant, and in the gospel of Christ, to establish you in your faith and to exhort you that no one be moved by these afflictions. You yourselves know that this is to be our lot. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:6, Timothy returns with good news. And Paul, after hearing that, he writes 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And he wrote it in Corinth. And Timothy continued to teach and encourage them to live out their Christian faith, even in the face of persecution. Paul had confidence in Timothy to do the work of the Lord, even in horrible situations. So, in the third missionary journey, we find Paul in Ephesus, and we are told of Apollos' mission. Therefore, an instruction by Priscilla and Aquila. Paul stays there for 2 years and 3 months. And later, well, let's go to Acts 19. Again, one of the tactics that Paul uses on his missionary journey was to, when he goes to a city, go to the synagogue of that city and preach Christ. And if in verse 8, he went to the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But then some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude. He departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. He continued for 2 years, and all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Again, Paul is working, and he's at this stage. Well, not quite at that stage. He was at the stage where he could show Timothy and the other disciples how to do the things that he did. And he was all at that stage to where he could trust Timothy to do the things that he did, even in hostile situations, even in terrible situations. He could trust Timothy to do the work of the Lord. And in this time at Ephesus, this is when the silversmith raised up such a turmoil that there was a riot. And first and second Timothy were written to Timothy in Ephesus. Ephesus was the main city in Asia Minor, the seat of Roman government, and the home of the temple of Artemis. And really, during this day, it was probably when he wrote the two letters to the Corinthian church and to the Roman church. At the and in Corinthians 4:17, Paul writes, "Therefore, I send you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in the church." Again, Paul has confidence that Timothy can conduct himself and still preach the gospel of Christ, and imitate Paul as he imitated Christ. And that's part of being a disciple. Part of being a disciple is not parroting what you have heard. Part of being a disciple is reflecting the change in personality, the change of countenance. In your role in the church, in your role as a disciple, having the countenance and the change and the confidence of being a disciple, you not only have the words of God, you have and you reflect the Spirit of God. Excuse me for a moment. Oh, here we go. Because we find in 2 Corinthians, Paul writing to the Corinthians, "Did I take advantage of you through any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not act in the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? This is Titus and Timothy imitating Paul as he imitated Christ. Remember, in Thessalonians, Paul didn't take any payment. Paul didn't take advantage of the church. He worked with his own hands. He did not take their bread, but he used himself as an example of how to conduct oneself in the house of God. And Titus and Timothy did the same thing. They did the same thing, reflecting the character of Paul, Paul reflecting the character of Christ. They did the same thing. It is not a matter of saying the right words. It is a matter of living your life according to the gospel. Again, when Paul is in prison, and this is probably the year 56 through 58, or or 62 and 63. So this is not far from Paul writing the epistle to the Thessalonians. This is maybe 6 or 8 years later. And when Paul wrote to the Philippians, he speaks highly of Timothy. I hope in the Lord Jesus. This is Philippians 1:19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely anxious for your welfare. They all look after their own interests, not of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth, you know, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how it goes with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself may come also. And that's in Philippians 2, 19 through 24. Again, Paul has such confidence as in Timothy as a disciple, and such confidence even in himself to disciple, that what Timothy is being encouraged to do, he will do. And again, Timothy was not only a part of Paul's inner circle, he was unique. I have no one like him, says Paul about Timothy. Timothy is also listed as a co-author in Philippians 1:1, Colossians 1:1, Philemon 1-1. So there is a trust and a bond. A trust knowing that Timothy will preach the gospel. And a bond knowing that Timothy has the desire and the faith and the mirroring of the gospel of Christ, that he will faithfully conduct himself, even in hostile situations. He will conduct himself to further the kingdom of God in these situations. In the situation in Ephesus, which mainly Timothy stayed in, and where there is a riot because of what Paul did, Timothy has to stay and quell that riot by speaking the truth, by speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he does that bravely and faithfully. And later, in Second Timothy, where is it? My notes have taken a Paul goes through Macedonia again, and Timothy left Ephesus to meet him on the way, perhaps to talk about the problems in Ephesus, but especially, we would think, to see his spiritual father for the first time since Paul released from imprisonment. If this is the tearful visit referred to in 2 Timothy 1:4, it is possible that this was Timothy's first visit after Paul's release. It must have been emotionally difficult for Timothy to have been away from Paul during that time. And sometime after this visit, Paul wrote the first epistle to Timothy. Am I gonna go there? Nah. Well, yeah, I will. One of the things in these three epistles Titus and Timothy are less historical individuals than pragmatic persons, models in which the new public is expressed to identify. It is not scripture stating that Timothy and Titus were Paul's say right-hand men, so to speak. It was a testimony of who Timothy and Titus were. Not that they just were faithful to Paul and faithful to the gospel, but they were faithful to carry out the kingdom of God. And Timothy was just, he encouraged Paul encouraged Timothy to stay on at Ephesus and deal with the significant and difficult issues that had arisen, to provide authoritative instruction on how the household of God was to conduct itself, and to combat directly the opponents and their teaching, and to remind Timothy of how he was conduct himself and what was he to teach. Timothy being an example of a disciple, Paul being a disciple, being an example of a discipler, follow me as I follow Christ. He brought Timothy along and Titus along, that they saw Paul imitating Christ and they imitated Paul. Ultimately, they imitated Christ, but at first, being new converts, being new disciples, they imitated Paul. That is what we do as disciplers. We imitate Christ, and we imitate Christ leading, teaching people the kingdom, about the kingdom. Then we partner with the disciples to they can spread their wings and encourage people and bring other people to Christ, and further, that they have that confidence to not only encourage people but by teaching under Paul's wing or even our wing, but they can come to a place where they can do it on their own. Remember, Jesus showed the way. Then Jesus partnered with his disciples in the way. And then Jesus sends his disciples out so they can do the things of God on their own, relying on God and relying on the Holy Spirit. So in all that, that's the light I want to teach Timothy and Titus, to where it's indirectly the light is shined on Paul, his influences on Timothy and Titus. Next week, with that background, we're going to dive into the epistle. I wish I was clear. today, but there it is. We have to realize that as disciples, the people who we disciple may have to go into hostile and dangerous situations. But just as Paul trusted the Holy Spirit that the Thessalonians could survive their persecution and survive the oppression that faced them all the time, we need to trust in the Holy Spirit that not only do we need trust in the Holy Spirit that we can face trials and hostilities and oppression, but those who we teach, who we encourage, can also trust in the Holy Spirit to bring them through opposition and I forgot the word hostilities. So we always have to remember to not only tell people, tell our disciples that trouble can come. Trouble will probably come. But we have an advocate in the Holy Spirit that we can overcome these things, and and they can overcome also. So with that's how I want to teach the pastoral epistles, how to disciple in Paul's way and Timothy and Titus' way. And right now, that's all I got.